The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John chapter 1, verse 5. Welcome to Echoes Through the Abyss, a place where the deepest valleys of human experience meet the unrelenting light of hope. In this world, many have walked through darkness, through trauma, loss, brokenness and despair. But even in the depths, even in the silence of the abyss, there are echoes. Echoes of survival, echoes of redemption, echoes of faith. Here we share real stories of people who have faced the darkness and found their way back to the light. Because no matter how deep the abyss may feel, hope still speaks. This is Echoes Through the Abyss podcast.
Is everybody ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okie dokie. Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Echoes Through the Abyss podcast. I'm your co-host, Mandy.
I'm Ben.
I am Veronica.
We sound like robots. So tonight we're going to talk about Judas Iscariot, because I think last time, was it last time that we, I think I asked if Judas was in hell?
I remember that.
It was a previous episode, so I got curious about that, so I kind of did a deep dive, and Lord, it took me down a whole bunch of rabbit holes. It was interesting, though. It took me through Revelations, which I want to sit down and, like, actually really read that, because it was kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of stuff to unpack with it. Mm-hmm. So, Judas Iscariot, the betrayer of Jesus, his dad was Simon Iscariot. And if you want to flip to Luke 6, verse 13 through 16. Lord, I can't see anymore. One day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. Here are their names: Simon, whom he named Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. I don't remember Bartholomew.
Yeah.
I guess he doesn't play a big part. I don't know.
Yeah, there's some that aren't mentioned much.
There is some that don't match with the number, with the names in the chosen.
Yeah, I've noticed. So, like Thaddeus. Bartholomew is Thaddeus.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So we all know what Judas did. He's kind of, his name's infamous as being a betrayer. But he wasn't really good guy, and everything that and this isn't just like me saying, you know, because of what he did. This is stuff I've read, you know, in the Word, because that's what we're supposed to be here to do, is, you know, go through based on what the Bible says. And the Bible even calls him a thief.
What was the part that confused you
in Revelations?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that. It's
okay,
you'll understand in a minute. It was kind of just a deep dive that I went through, and it was just like, whoa, okay.
Judas also has two deaths, right? His deaths,
we all have
are
two deaths.
No, I mean, he has
in the
two
Bible,
different
he has
descriptions
one
of his
one
death.
He, like, explodes or something.
The what? What
he
what died, two deaths?
There's
he has
two
different descriptions of his death.
Death.
Okay.
Like, one is he hanged himself, which is one people are, like, most, you know, familiar with. And then the other is he, like, went to the field of blood and, like, exploded, which is how
his innards, like, fall apart, and yeah, he.
Which,
but then I've heard people say,
"What is?"
But then I've heard people say that both occurred, right? Like, it doesn't ever say that, it's two different gospels. But if you combine them, it's like he hung himself and then he exploded, or not really split. Like his innards fell out. So yeah.
Well, that was a tough drop.
It could be both.
Technically, it could. I mean, we don't know how high up in the tree he was. But
Or how
he
long he
wasn't
was
the.
there, or what birds picked at him.
Well, that's true.
Oh.
I'm assuming they didn't mean instantaneously if the two things are combined. Because that would be
I feel
kind
like
of.
it was so long ago. It wasn't a time where like crime scenes were cleaned up. It's like you hang yourself to a tree, you're gonna be there for a while.
Yeah, you're probably right, because that's probably. Well, I think like during the Crusades, they would hang Crusaders or whoever from trees and just let them hang there as like a warning to whoever. So if we go to John 6, verse 70 and 71, says then Jesus says, "I chose the 12 of you, but one is a devil." He was speaking of Judas, Simon Iscariot, one of the 12 who would later betray him. He's just talking about how Jesus knew he was going to be betrayed, which is incredible if you really think about it, because I don't think I could invite someone to my dinner table who knew I was going to turn me in and I get killed terribly. But I'm not
That's
Jesus.
how Jesus is. He even washed his feet.
I know that's what it gets me. I'm just like, ooh, first of all, gross. Washing guys' feet. No offense, guys, but feet are gross. Then if we go to John chapter 12, verse 4 through 6, it said, "But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor, he was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. And this is just to back it up a little, but this is when Mary bought that really like expensive spikenard oil that was in the alabaster jar, and it was like,
Put it on him.
yeah, and then wash
You know,
his feet.
it's
What?
very interesting, right? Like Judas like betrays God, right? He betrays our Savior incarnate,
Yeah.
and the Bible still has to clearly say, but also this guy was stealing money, right? Like, do we really even need to throw another rock at him? It's like he's bad enough, right? He's betraying God, and it's like also he's a thief, though. So just in case you have any sympathy, this guy's a bad dude.
Well, maybe that was included because, like, supposedly when Jesus gave him the bread dipped in the oil at the Last Supper is when the demon entered him. So maybe that was just like set up the fact that, okay, well, he's evil enough to where he can be possessed by a demon enough to do
Yeah.
what he did.
Well, I think that's part of it. And I also think that like saying that the money could have like clothed or fed the poor is a reasonable statement, right? So they have
Yeah,
to
because
be
it's like a
like,
year's
but
worth
he
of
didn't
wages.
really mean this.
Well, I think he's been portrayed as kind of a selfish douche, personally, but that's just me, in my opinion. But yeah, I don't think it was very moral. I think Matthew, the tax collector, is more moral than he was. And Matthew wasn't bad. He was just different.
Matthew, the way that they describe in the Gospels, he was bad. What happened is that Dallas Jenkins picked him to be an artist guy, and everybody loves him. But really, Matthew changed from bad to good. You know?
Yeah, but I don't think he really cheated people, though, did he? He wasn't like one of those corrupt tax collectors, was he?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they all were corrupt, just like the politicians, you know? Think about it, just to betray your people and war for the Romans.
Well, yeah, I mean that would be a betrayal, yeah. But I'm talking like how most of them just, cheated their own people. I mean, I haven't read the whole Bible yet, so I don't know if he actually did
Yeah,
that or
it's
not,
just
but
like with the chosen, I mean, they put this nice character that we all like.
yeah.
But it's not really described like Matthew was that nice, really. And
Well, that's a shame because I like Matthew.
yeah, no.
You know, interestingly, and like this isn't part of the Bible, right? So like not to lead us astray, but there are obviously like gospels that and other stories, right, that were left out of the
Yeah.
Bible because they didn't fit. And there is a gospel of Judas, and I remember hearing about it a long time ago, so it's kind of interesting. So I just looked it up to make sure. you know, what it was. There's a Gospel of Judas where Judas is not a malicious traitor, but is Jesus's closest confidant and favorite disciple. And the betrayal was a request, not a betrayal, like where Jesus said, "I need you to do this for so that this can be fulfilled," and asked Judas to do it. Again, this is not a text that was included in the Bible, and most people think it's bunked, but it is an ancient text. It's called the Gospel of Judas.
Well,
Well,
there's quite a
sir,
few
what is
gospels in
the
the
name
Bible.
of those gospels, the ones that are known in the Bible?
Gnostic.
The Gnostic.
Gnostic, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to
And
know
you got
about them
Mary
because
Magdalene had a
people.
gospel too,
Mary
supposedly.
Magdalene did, and Thomas
And
did.
Thomas. I haven't
And
read those
Mary
yet, but I'd like
Magdalene.
to. What?
Mary Magdalene.
Actually, I would love to read hers because there's a lot of different stuff with her going on.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know a lot about hers, but I feel like the most controversial stuff in hers is that clearly, you know, like there's parts of the Bible where they talk about women not being allowed to be ministers and whatever, and it's clear in the Gospel of Mary Magdalene that she is an apostle and she is a preacher, right?
Yeah, also Paul had a preacher's woman. He has Lydia preaching. And there is women in the Bible like Deborah.
Yeah,
Deborah
Deborah.
was a woman that in the book of Judges, that she, if it wasn't for her, Israel wouldn't be saved, you know? So she was kind of like a general and a preacher. So.
Don't know much about her. I know she was kind of pretty cool, I guess.
Well, I know in my life, some of the most spiritual people I've met have been women. And if they weren't allowed to preach in any form, right, then it would be a disservice to the world.
I agree with that.
Yeah, women can preach, and I don't have anything against that. It's just that there is some men that they will leave the church if they are preaching.
Sure.
Which is so silly.
It is silly. It is.
So, to jump around a little bit, if you go to Matthew 26, it is, I can't read my handwriting, 14 through 16. It says, then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests and asked, how much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. And then if you skip down just a little bit more to verse 23, it says, this is Jesus, that he was distressed. And he just said that some of them was going to betray them. He replied, one of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me, for the Son of Man must die, as the scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born. Which kind of led to my question whether or not Judas is in hell. But then, once you kind of like get into, and we get into Revelation, or actually Hebrews 9, starts it off like with the first death and the second death. This is kind of where my mind was a little bit blown.
What? Revelation what?
Hold on just a sec. Where's Hebrews?
Hebrews is by the letters of Paul, so that will be after the Gospels and after the book of Acts.
After the book
First.
of Acts. Okay. Ha, got it. Okay, so if you look at Hebrews 9, and it is verse 27, it says, and just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. So also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. So that to me says that when we die, okay, those of us, you know, who believe whatever, we go to God, whatever, but then, you know, once, what is it, the rapture is supposed to start like Jesus's 1,000-year reign on earth? The millennium, because
Yes.
he's supposed to
I
come back for a
mean,
thousand years.
nobody knows exactly if the rapture happened and then Jesus stay and reign, or the rapture happens and then I think that the church is going to suffer. The people is going to suffer here. He pick up his church and then people is going to suffer for a lapse of 7 years, something like that. Hopefully, it's just that. And then Jesus come back and reign for 1,000 years or something like that.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing. But the first death is supposed to be like universal and temporary, and it's basically the separation of body and spirit, whereas the second death is final and eternal and is for the unrepentant, which what we kind of talked about, because you guys said that Jesus, or not Jesus, Judas was repentant, but there's nowhere in the Bible that says he was repentant. He was remorseful and he felt guilt, but remorse and repentance are not the same thing. One deals with guilt and actually wanting to turn around and be a different person, which is remorse, or which is repentance, whereas remorse is just feeling guilty because you did something stupid. But yeah, it never said anything about him being repentant, which means to me, from what everything that I've understood, is he can't be with, Jesus up in heaven right now anyway. It's, or if he is now, then when the second death comes around or whatever, then supposedly he's going to get picked up and thrown into the lake of fire, which is, now that's jumping into Revelation 20. Sorry, my fan's blowing everything all over the place. Let's see. Revelations 21. Revelation 20, 20 through 15 is a good one too. Maybe it's never so small, I can't see anything. So if you start at verse 8, chapter 21, verse 8, it says, "But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." That's why it's so confusing, because it's like, okay, well, so if we die the first time, it's obviously our physical body's being left behind, our spirit's going, I'm assuming, to wherever God is until it's time for actual judgment. Just think about that, because like I said, this kind of just blows my mind a little bit. No opinions on that?
I've read Revelations many times. I have no clue what's happening, or I still think no one knows the hour or the day, and we're not supposed to be able to pick too much out of it, or else we'd know too much. I think it's like, I think we're, when we read Revelation, I feel like we're the people that are watching Jesus preach who are listening to the parables and don't ever get explained what they mean. At least for me. I don't
It's
put too much thought
complicated,
into it.
but it's a book that is codified and decodified. So the more you read it, the more you understand. I don't understand all, but I like it. And there is so
You
much
like
from the Old
Revelation?
Testament and so much from the New Testament that is involved in Revelation. I mean, it's that like the whole Bible is condensed there. Yeah. I like it because it also talks a lot about the magnificence of God, and I like
True.
that part a lot.
And if you go back to Revelation 20, and this is 12 through 15, I think it says, "I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." Which doesn't really make sense either if, once we've been saved, we can't, lose our salvation. But I don't know, Revelation is just confusing to me. I mean, it's cool because I like to read about the seal and stuff like that, but it's just like I have no idea what.
I
It's almost
mean,
contradictory in my head.
every time that we talk about hell or the lake of fire, it's scary and We don't want to listen about that. I think that is like, it's part of the confusion that we don't want accepted sometimes, you know? But it is the truth. That's why I don't follow the Jehovah Witness, because they don't believe in hell. Yeah, I mean, it says everywhere in the Bible. There is a lake of fire. Jesus said that it will be bad there.
That, well, that's where Satan gets tossed in death, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, well, I heard the other day that hell was created for Satan and the demons, not for us.
Right.
But we decide if we want to go there or not. No?
I'm going to go with no on that one, for me personally.
Yeah, I know.
And there are some confusing parts, though, about like how many people are going to end up there, because Jesus in Revelation does say every head shall bow, every knee shall bend. To me, that's worship. If every human's going to worship him, then how is someone going to not make it?
Well, if it goes by what I just read, then it goes by our deeds during our lifetime, which.
But the gospel says, especially if you read Romans, has nothing to do with your deeds at all.
There is a big contradiction, okay, in between the book of Paul and the book of James. So Paul say that we win heaven by grace, not by works.
Yes.
Okay. And James say that we have to show our grace by our works. So what I understand about this whole contradiction kind of thing is that whoever had the grace of God in him will prove it in his works. You know, so we will start to change, and we will start to try to be better, and we will fail, but we will try to be better. And at some points we're going to get better, you know, better and better and better. That's what grace does to you.
Yeah.
So obviously our, like Jesus said in Matthew, you will recognize my children by their fruits. Because obviously, if we are following Jesus, we're going to start to show those fruits.
Right.
You know, it's not immediately, or it's not something like, oh my gosh, she's a saint now. But we will show there is something in Christians that is different. You know,
well, they're supposed
than the
to be,
others. Yeah. You
and
know,
what did Jesus do to the fig tree that didn't have any fruit?
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen to me.
Exactly. So the whole thing is that it's like one thing cannot go without the other, because this is what happened in the Catholic world. For example, they tell you to do the Ten Commandments and to do this law, and if you don't do this, then you're a sinner, and then the only way that you can get forgiven for the sin is to go to confession with a man, and then you will be clear there, and then you can take communion, and then you are good. But this, what I think now that I read the Bible and everything, is that it's not that easy like that. It's not that easy. It's like you have to repent first and all.
I mean, it has
and
to be
I feel like the confession is with God.
Right.
It's you and God, you know.
Yeah.
You can confess with your other fellow Christians,
right,
sisters and brothers, but it's important that you repent and confess with God. And once that is done, you are cleared by the grace of God.
Right.
You know? And that's what I think. But in the Catholic world, is everything is by works, you know?
Right. The
And
Catholics
I
also
see.
have purgatory, whereas we don't.
Yeah, I don't know where that show up. The other day I was trying to investigate where the purgatory came from, and it was like,
Well, what
so
couldn't
it's
it have
a new
possibly come from
thing.
Revelation? Kind of based off what I just read, the first death versus the second death. That's kind of where my mind went.
Interesting. Interesting. But that the purgatory thing is a new idea. It's not an idea that show up really in the Bible so clear. It could be something that, as you say, in the Revelation says that first death, second death. But what I read before is that it was a new idea. And most of Catholics, they say, okay, maybe I will be a little while in the purgatory. That's okay. No, it's
No.
not okay.
No.
No, it's not okay. So that's why I feel like we need to feel that we are saved by grace, but also we have to show our grace to others,
It's
Mm-hmm.
interesting that Catholicism does lean so heavily on works because it like really was built upon Saint Paul, and Saint Paul not only was big on saying grace alone, but he also was, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, big on predestination, right? Like, so it was like, not only is it about grace, you can't change whether or not you're Christian anyways. That's already been predetermined by God, and you can't do anything about that. And it's the grace of God alone that's going to save you. But then Catholicism somehow took those in
And
and made the
work.
books. Yeah. I mean, he does
Yes.
have definitely passages about bearing fruit, right? Like in the fruits of the spirit, right? So you can see how like works, even though he's said that those aren't what gets you there, he shows that like they are necessary to show that you are there.
Wait, the Catholic Church is built on Paul. I thought it was built on Peter,
Paul.
because he's the rock.
Both. I
Right.
mean, Peter is the rock. And Peter went, he was assassinated in Rome,
Yeah.
but Paul, he went like seven times to Rome too. He also was assassinated in Rome, I think. But the thing is that he was preaching to a lot of churches, and then he had the Book of Romans, so he was the one that preached the most in Rome. And still, like Ben said, they are founded in works more than in grace. Like, that is like the biggest difference in between the evangelical world and the Catholic world,
Yeah.
is the saved by grace or saved by works.
But I can see how it gets confusing for some people, because it says saved by grace in one part, and then Revelation's like, oh, well, you're going to go based on your deeds that you did previously, which I don't know. I mean, I'm going to heaven either way, because I don't do bad things. I mean, obviously, I'm not perfect, but I don't intentionally try to do malicious things to anybody or anything. Intentionally, I can't say that my flesh doesn't take over sometimes, because it does. Hi, Diana. Is
Hello.
she here?
I see something
D.
that says D, yeah.
Oh, this house,
What's up?
I can't wait till I'm done.
Excuses, excuses. Just
Hi,
because you're
Ben. Hi,
moving.
Veronica.
Okay,
Hi,
so we
Diana.
kind of started without you because I got tired of waiting.
That's all right. That's all right. Go ahead on, honey.
So we were talking about Judas, and like, because last time I think I don't think you were on last time. I asked if Judas was in hell, because and Veronica said, I think Ben agreed with her that because he repented, he would be in heaven. So, and I'm, but then I went back and did kind of a deep dive, as deep as I could dive, because I'm still trying to figure out where everything is. But it says nothing about him being repentful. He's remorseful, which is why he killed himself. But he didn't repent. So if he didn't repent, just based on my understanding of how we get saved, I would think he was in hell. And then we kind of dove into the first and second death, whereas the first death is temporary. And when Jesus comes back to reign on earth is when judgment happens, I guess, which is Revelation, which none of us seem to really totally understand because it's just ridiculous. And they were talking about how Catholicism was built. It was built on Paul or Peter, and I guess both. Probably more so Paul because of Romans and everything. But and then I just lost my train.
I think there are more. If you let, I would have to Google this. I will one day. But like, there are more St. Paul's Catholic churches than there are St. Peter. I mean, there are St. Peter's, obviously, the Basilica in Rome, yeah. Right? Like, but yeah. There's like tons of St. Paul's Catholic churches.
Yeah,
it's funny because every time that my friends, my Catholic friends, want to start to debate with me, they will always say, well, Peter founded the church, and the church is the Catholic church because that's the church that Peter founded. And then I say, well, he started the church actually in Jerusalem, yeah, the day of Pentecost, because that's the day that everybody got together and spoke in different languages. And that's the day that really the Holy Spirit came. So that was the first Mass, I think, so in Jerusalem.
What do your Catholic people say when you say that to them?
They say, no, Jesus said that Peter is the rock, and under my rock will be founded. So Rome is the place. I said, no.
But wasn't Peter the rock of Jesus's church?
Yeah, what happened is
that Roman Catholic wasn't really built on Jesus. It was built on his teachings, I guess, but not directly from him.
Well, it's supposed to be from him, but they always go by the size.
Right.
That's the problem. Yeah. Biggest problem is when Catholics pray, most of them, not all, but most of them ask to Mary, to Peter, to San Dis and the others. And so there is
they pray a lot to the Virgin Mary.
To the Virgin Mary, yes. And then even my kids, they grew up in Catholic school and they told me, Mom, it's all about Mary. And I say, yeah, I know, baby, but just be grateful, I say. Just, you know what is the truth, and just be patient with them and never argue with them, because you don't want to get into those arguments, you know. It's just, oh, you don't know. You cannot touch the name with them. It's just, it's
Mother
strong.
Mother Mary is pretty cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's the mother of Jesus. I mean, it's amazing. What better woman than her? But, I mean, when I ask in my prayers, mm-hmm, I ask to the Father. Not even to Jesus. I ask to the Father, and I tell, in the name of your Son, Jesus, because you say, he say that if we ask in his name, you mm-hmm will give it to us.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I do the same thing. I don't pray to Mother Mary. I pray to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I sort of do both. Most of the time I pray just to Jesus, but I do pray the rosary, because the rosary mm-hmm is a reflection of Jesus' life. And
That's true.
It's a deep dive reflection of his life, and you can really get really in depth in yourself about all of those phases, and it's just something that I feel is good for me.
We did an episode on Ben reads rosary on one of our episodes, probably 3 or 4 years ago, something like that. But it's a past episode. If y'all want to go back and check it out, you're more than welcome to. Mm-hmm. We'll take the listens. And it's good and wholesome, so it's worth mm-hmm a listen.
Yeah, I try not to pray while cussing, or I try not to swear while praying. So it's pretty wholesome.
Well, sometimes it happens because we're human, right? So he forgives. My stepmom, I was walking to my bedroom. My stepmom came up behind me. I didn't see her. I was like, she scared me a little bit. So I was like, I said Jesus' name in vain. And I walked away. I'm like, sorry, Lord. It happens. I can't help it.
It happens.
I was watching The Chosen earlier today, actually, because I haven't finished season 5 yet, because I was kind of mm-hmm waiting, because their season 6 isn't coming out for a while. And I like stopped paying attention for a second, and I think I got a text on my phone or something. And while I was looking at it, someone said, Jesus. And I like was like, whoa, what are they saying on that? Like, it sounded like blasphemy to me, but when I looked up, they were actually talking to Jesus. It was actually completely fine.
I watch that show every night. I love it. I love it so much. And like when I pray to Jesus, that's who I see in my head, Jonathan Rumi. Which I know he's not Jesus, but he plays Jesus on the show.
No, I mean, whatever makes you feel comfort, just like don't let that slip into idolatry.
Right.
No, I don't worship Jonathan Rumi.
Yeah.
I think he's an awesome yeah.
Well, I have a friend that she saw visions. You know, yeah. She had visions of Jesus, and she was saved, and she had a visitation, and she even make paintings of his face and all that. And she gets mad every time that she sees of the Chosen or other. She goes to a museum and see a picture of Jesus. He doesn't She's like, look
Who's
like. I say, come. But he doesn't. He's not even there. Okay.
It's funny how a lot of pictures portray Jesus as white. I'm like, dude, he's from the Middle East. He's not white, like at all.
We don't know that. I mean,
Revelation says his skin was bronze, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which clearly means he wasn't white. Because I'm
his
white.
His hair was
not
white and wool,
all.
Right? So it's like somewhere between his death and his resurrection and then Revelation, right? Like he had been through a lot. His hair turned white.
Yeah. Yes. He sweated blood.
I assume it wasn't white when he was 30 something prior to death, but who knows? Maybe
he had that Michael Jackson disease. No, he can't be diseased. He was perfect.
No, definitely not.
There was a lot to unpack with everything I read this past week. It was just like, and then I started a fast, not bragging about it, just talking about it, because Veronica and I started the 21-day Daniel fast, and I didn't realize how much cooking was like exhausting. I don't know how my grandma did it every day, because she put like 4-course meal on the table every night. I'm just like, nope. Mm-mm. Who's in there trying to talk to you?
My granddaughter and my husband just walked in.
Hi, family.
Say hi.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
Good.
You reading your Bible today?
No, we haven't had Bible study yet.
Oh, that's right. You guys do it at night. That's right.
Right. Right.
Okay, you're forgiven then.
Hey, tell us a little bit about your baptism, Mandy.
Oh my gosh, it was like when I was driving to church. When I pulled into the church parking lot, I should have brought the video, but I forgot to do it. When I pulled up in church parking lot, I was like, I got nervous because I have a huge church and it's like live streamed in front of a lot more people. So I'm just like, oh gosh. So, And then the baptismals are, the steps are really steep and there's like 5 of them. And I'm just like, and you kind of have to climb over the top step to get into it. And I'm just like, oh Lord Jesus, if you let me fall, I'll be pissed. But he didn't. I got up there and got in there. Okay. And there's like the first, like the flat level when you first step in, it's like where your back goes down when they dunk you or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you have to step down another little step because you sit down, obviously. I slipped.
She wasn't. You slept. First,
I did.
Ready.
I didn't see it on the video though, but hi.
Hello. George, this is a real George, not me.
George.
Sorry, yeah, I wore my socks too because I have neuropathy on my feet, and it's like, you know, the non-slip strips they have, I feel like sandpaper. So I'm like, I'm gonna wear my socks. Well, my toe caught on that, even through my socks, it like ripped, like flayed the top of my toes. I'm like, well, Jesus bled, so I guess I did too, which technically I did. So I'm just like, you might want to scrub out your baptismal later because it's got my blood in it. Not that there's anything wrong with my blood because I'm clean, but you know, still it's gross to think about. But no, it's really cool. And like, it's, you know, you get in there and then you have two people, you have two pastors on each side of you, and they just kind of pray over you to start with. And then they dunk you. And then when they dunk me, I guess I kind of resisted a little bit because I saw my knee go up because I didn't want to, I guess, go all the way down. But I mean, I felt my head not fully submerged, but then right when I thought they were going to pull me up, I felt him push me down more. So my head would go completely under. I'm just like, all right, fine. That's good. So. And I was like,
that was him squeezing the last bit of resistance out of you.
He's like, nope, you're going all the way under, kid. And he put me under and came back up and everything was leveling. And that's when I looked up and saw her, but I was like, oh my gosh. Because you can actually see me talking to the girl beside me. It's like, there's a lot of people here. And she's like, just close your eyes. I'm like, okay. And then she prayed over me for a few minutes, which was fabulous.
So you say that you were crying. You were.
Oh my gosh, I started crying like when worship started, before the baptisms even began.
Oh, really?
When I first sat down, when she was praying over me to begin with, I started crying. I'm like, you're going to choke if you don't stop. So I stopped a little bit, then she baptized me again. Then I honestly don't know what in the world they prayed over me, but I knew it was powerful because it really like punched me in my gut. I wish I'd gotten that on audio, but I have no idea what she said, but it was pretty, I mean, I cried again.
You said it was live streamed. Is there audio there, or is it too close to hear, like too far away?
The pastors aren't mic, so and they don't have like a boom mic over top of the baptismals, which might be cool, but then they might get people saying some stuff they're probably not supposed to say. But I mean, it was pretty good.
Good for you.
Yeah, but I mean, as soon as like, my foot stepped in the water, it's like, I swear he zapped me out of there because I don't remember anything except for slipping and like turning halfway around to the baptismal. So I had my back to like most people to start with. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll just spin around. No big deal. Mm-hmm. Nobody saw it. Of course, a couple thousand people saw it, but that's okay. But it was awesome. It was a great experience. But I didn't get that cross on my forehead like they gave you, Ben. I was hoping something cool would pop up, but
you got to go through all the pictures and still frames and look.
Yeah,
something's there.
Yeah, they took a lot of pictures too, which is cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was
such
awesome.
A great thing.
It really was. There were 10 of us total that day, and made some new friends, so that's cool too. Everybody's so just like happy when church was over. Just like, this is cool. Okay.
Nice.
Stay in that, which I just on and right back in. So, and then we had Natalie Grant do leading our worship that day, so that's pretty cool. You know who she is? She's a Christian singer. She's not to brag or anything, but she's a Christian singer. She's one of our worship leaders. She's very talented. I almost had a little fangirl moment backstage too, in the green room, because she busted in like when I was coming out, because they give you a shirt to put on. And she had to pee really bad, so I was like walking out. She like ran in real quick, and I was just like, I walked out. And I'm like, is that Natalie Grant? They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay. But then I remembered how nervous I was, and I started to get sick again. So I'm just like, okay, let's just chill for a little bit. And then I'm like, okay, let's go, guys. I'm like, no, I'm not ready yet. So, but yeah, that's pretty cool. Their production stuff is incredible. I can't wait to be part of that. It's gonna be fun.
Nice.
Very good. Very beautiful.
Yes.
It was beautiful, actually. A lot more emotional than I thought it was going to be. Like, Ben comes up all stone-faced, and he's just like, whatever, I did it.
I try not to have any emotions. Sometimes I fail, but I try.
Oh, my goodness. What's been going on with everybody else as far as Jesus and church?
Okay.
A lot of stuff every day, you know?
Everybody still reading their Bible every day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I start my training at the counseling center next Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
So.
Oh.
Yeah. See how that goes. Yeah, very.
Oh, you'll be fine. You know the Bible pretty well, and you're good at talking to people, so you'll be fine. They'll love you.
Yeah,
and you're pretty to look at too. So
I feel like I have to cover my tattoos though.
What?
I feel like I have to cover my tattoos though. Let's like I wasn't trying to be deceiving, but like in my dressing up for my interview, I did wear long sleeves to not say, hey, I have tattoos.
On everybody in my church, I'm just like, because I don't have any tattoos. Everybody has like sleeves and stuff. I'm like, I have nothing. And so I'm like, I want to go get a tattoo just to look, make it look like I fit in. Yeah, Christians are pretty hardcore now, Ben. So you're good.
Yeah. But this is like a counseling center too, right? So like, I don't know. Like the thing is with counseling, right? Like, yes, it shouldn't matter, but you also don't want anything that's going to distract your client. Right, so like looking neutral is very good. So like, I'll probably sleeve up.
What kind?
Oh, yeah. So they can tell you more about them, you know?
Right. It should be about them. There should be nothing that makes them stare at me, right? So.
No? Yeah. Diana, what are you doing? You look like you're looking at something.
Honey, look, everybody's coming in here distracting me, you know? My daughter's here. My granddaughter's sitting right here next to me. Look.
Hey.
Hello.
So cute.
Now? Okay.
Who are you talking to now?
My daughter. She needs me to do something for her really, really quick.
Yeah, we're about done anyway. I've said everything. But
let me tell you, so my son is a supervisor of Southwest now.
Nice.
Cincinnati. Oh. And they fly straight into Tennessee.
Yeah.
So Saturday we had a resident event for my residents. It was a back to school pool party. Okay, so that was Saturday. And I said, I wonder if there's a flight, you know, going into Tennessee, because I still had your address to the church. So I'm looking, I'm like, yes, you know. But then what worried me was getting back, because, you know, I had to go back to work Monday. And I haven't been at this job. It'll be 3 months on the 27th. So
anytime you want to fly into Nashville, you let me know. I'll come pick you up and we'll go to church together.
Oh, yes, most definitely. Now that I know that Southwest flies straight in.
That is cool.
Nice.
And I fly.
That would be nice when I was there.
Yeah. So I fly, you know, as a parent for free. I'm like,
And I get 50% discounts on Hilton hotels. So if you
want to. Well, all righty then. Hey, yeah, we're going to have to plan that. We're going to have to plan that.
I love my church.
Yes.
So what job do you have, Diana, now?
I'm a property manager. I'm still a property manager, but with a different company.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this company is great. I mean, they pay full medical.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
That's nice to have.
Yes. Yes. So, so that's why I'm like, man, I would love to fly in and be right there when she comes up. Like, hey!
Oh my gosh, that would be cool. One of my friends from high school who I haven't seen since high school showed up and surprised me. That was cool.
That would have been nice. Okay.
I would have made me cry, but yeah.
Huh?
I would have cried again. So
now he just saw you like post something that you were going to be.
Yeah, I posted that I was going to get baptized that day. And
that's cool.
He actually lives pretty close to the church. Like we do the opposite. Like I live in Cookeville and go to church in Nashville. He lives in Nashville and comes to church in Cookeville. So,
okay.
But yeah, he's a good guy.
Okay. See, and that's why. And now you see. Okay, done. Okay, it's done. Okay, that's why I need my prayer room with a lock.
Yeah.
Where's your granddaughter?
She's gone over there.
Tell her to come back and recite one of her memorized scriptures for us.
Oh yeah. Okay. Hey, Sanani. Come here, baby girl. Get my book over there. Uh-huh. The one that says gospel. Let me see. Yes. All righty. All right. Come here. They want you to recite one of the scriptures that you've
your
learned.
Your favorite one. I want to hear your favorite one.
Which one is your favorite one? Here's the list.
Okay.
So far, we're down to, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 scriptures they've learned so far. Now I'm teaching them the Ten Commandments.
Oh, okay.
Ah, very good.
I haven't memorized these yet.
Yes, you have. This is my favorite one. What's my favorite one? Jeremiah 29:11. For I
know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.
That's one of my favorites, actually. Good
job. Yes, I love that one. Yes.
But this is her favorite one. Which one is it?
Which one is your favorite?
With, for God has not they what? Back, go ahead.
For God has not given us the spirit of fear of the ocean, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Very good.
Somebody afraid of the ocean or something? Is that why she was so adamant about that?
That's why she says because of my childhood experience at the beach where I almost drowned twice. Okay, and my grandson is fearless. I mean, he's like, you know. So I'm trying to educate them on the ocean, you know, and how it's no joke if you get caught up in a undercurrent or riptide. So that's why when I taught them this scripture, every time they said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear."
Yeah, I used to be not terrified of the ocean at all until I saw shark documentaries where they can come up like within 3 feet of water. I'm just like, oh, yeah.
Sharks are rare.
Yes, yes.
I think the sharks are more in the United States because Americans are so afraid of sharks. In Ecuador, we're never afraid of sharks.
Because you haven't been bit by one yet.
Shark attacks are rare.
Oh, hell gosh.
Yeah. You should be afraid of jellyfish. Like swim sharks.
All right, that's spirit of fear. That's yes, Diana. It's not spirit of fear, okay?
No, I don't have a spirit of fear, but I got common sense. I'm not going in the ocean with the sharks.
Yeah, God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He also didn't give you a spirit of stupidity.
That's right. He gave us common sense. Yeah, but you know, teaching them that, you know what, it's such a blessing to see them so excited. Every time I say it's Bible study time and go grab your things, you know, they have their journal, they have a notebook where they keep their scriptures that they're learning, and they have their Bible, and go get Jesus.
Oh, we got a buddy Jesus? The little
every night, go tell them how you do that.
Oh, I love those.
Guess who's joining us today? It's Jesus. Say hello, so Jesus.
I have those everywhere in the YMCA, in the bag of service office. I put that there.
But that's how we open up, and then we pray, you know, and they have their Bible. They have their journal. They write in their journal, and then they have their little notebook with their scriptures on there.
You good girl. That's awesome. I get excited to read the Bible too.
And they're
I don't understand.
And they're so excited. It's like every time I say, "Okay, guys, you know what time it is?" They both go, "Yay!" in unison, and I'm like, "Oh Lord, don't ever let them lose that, please."
Yeah,
I think if they
never lose that. Never.
Yeah, Jesus is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Holy super cool. Pretty cool too. He's my buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He keeps me from saying terrible things most of the time. Sometimes I push his hand away from my mouth, but you know, most of the time I try to heed what he's telling me. Yeah. Anybody have any best thoughts?
Huh?
So based on everything we talked about tonight, where do we think Jesus is or Judas is? Damn it. Not Jesus. We know where Jesus is.
I don't know.
Well, I think that, me too. He regretted. And then, I don't know, when we go to heaven, we won't remember that what he did, probably.
Well, here's my thing, too. I mean, I figure since he was kind of like the pivotal person to get the ball rolling with what had to happen, I'm thinking maybe God gave him a little grace with that. Possibly, even though he was kind of a jerk. That's my opinion. If he's in heaven, that's the only reason I can think of why he would be there. Because I haven't found anything that says he was repentant. He killed himself, but that's just because he felt guilty. Because he was an idiot.
Yeah, but whether or not he was repentant, I don't think that we get to know or need to know.
Well, we'll find out eventually.
Yep, we'll find out, I guess. If he's not there, then you will know for sure.
Maybe we won't remember who he was.
Remember stuff like that.
Huh?
not supposed to remember stuff like that. So we may get out there and be like, who was I supposed to look for? Other than Jesus? I don't remember. I swear that's going to be me walking in circles the whole time, like the first half an hour while I'm up there.
Yeah, like from all the like near-death experiences that I've heard, right? Like you are in the overwhelming presence of Jesus, like immediately, but also like your circle, like your family members.
Yeah.
Judas isn't in my circle, so I'm not going to see that guy.
Yeah, he's not my circle either, so.
I'm all I hope is not to have ADHD again in heaven.
Oh, Lord, I hope not.
What did I was looking for?
Yeah, because that will be me. If ADHD exists up in heaven, that will be me right here.
Oh, man.
I love it. So I think if everybody's in agreement with it, we'll try to do something on the apostles, because I'm now, after going through Judas, I'm kind of interested in each one of them, because I don't know a whole lot of God other than what's been shown.
We didn't finish the parables of the Sermon of the Mountain.
Oh, okay. Yes, we'll do that then.
Because we have a lot to learn from those sermons.
Girl,
we've
got 2,000 pages worth of stuff to learn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're gonna be on here for a while.
Yeah, I finished Matthew, and I'm on Mark again.
I may go back and read Luke this week. I haven't decided yet, though.
I've started playing him while I sleep again.
Yeah, I've been doing that too. Not that my conscious mind retains anything, but I'm assuming my spirit does. So that's all that matters.
Yeah,
it'll come back eventually when I need it.
Yeah.
But anywho, Ben, would you like to pray us out, even though we didn't pray in?
We did not. Like, that is the first prayer, is God, forgive us for not praying in.
Sorry, Lord.
Today. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us together tonight and being able to discuss your word and your ways. And just bless us and everyone who's listening, and help us to reach as many people as we can in order to help to continue to grow your kingdom for you, not for us. To just worship you in your holy name. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And it's easy to say yes to Jesus because he's a cool guy. I want you to get to know him. And the Holy Spirit's pretty cool too. But he, like, when he comes on me, boy, when I read my Bible during the day, I will start to sweat. And I'm just like, bro, back off a little bit, because I'm getting hot again. That's what he does. He makes me sweat. It's crazy. But I was like, I want to feel you every day. So he's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm like, maybe put an AC on you or something. I don't know. But yeah, it's you know, you get what you ask for.
That's what, hey.
I guess I wasn't specific enough. Like, can you come in like a cool wave or something? But it's okay. It's okay. I love you anyway, buddy. It's all good.
Okay.
Thank you so much for tuning in, guys.
Okay.
Thank you for telling us your favorite scripture. I loved it. I love the passion behind it. It's awesome.
And congratulations on your baptism again. Yay! That was amazing.
Yes.
Great. We are all happy for that.
Yes.
I'm happy for it too, actually. Mm. Now I had no more excuses.
Yes.
I'm like, I'm full in now. So it's like, okay, I'm gonna turn back now.
That's the best decision you've ever made, ever.
Yes.
Ever. You're like the 20th person who told me that last week.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, people I didn't even realize are Christians are like, that's the best decision I'll ever make. I'm like,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm glad you know Jesus too. Thank you. It's pretty cool. It was awesome.
I tell everybody and anybody that'll listen, I tell them that is the best decision that I've ever made, ever.
You can't beat it.
So,
because he just, you know, I'm not looking for facts, but I'm going to be full of discernment so that I can stop them before they really mess with me. Because now that I'm full in, he's going to come after me, because that's how he works.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
And I ain't going to let him.
Oh, get ready.
But remember that you would have protectors too. You won't be by yourself.
That's right. But
oh, yeah. I'll send you on him. I'm not afraid to.
But listen, you need to learn. What the heck is going on with my computer? You need to learn how to rebuke and bind. It's a warfare. Learn how to rebuke and bind.
Girl, I used to be a ghost hunter. I know how to do that.
There you go. Okay. What's wrong with my computer? Going to die.
Diana has ADHD. So, okay. Well, before you die, Y'all have a wonderful evening. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
All righty.
Love
God bless all of you.
God bless you guys.
God bless you.
All right.
I love you guys. I love you.
Okay. Love you okay, bye. So come on,
my soul. As this episode comes to a close, remember this. No matter how deep the valley, no matter how heavy the darkness may feel, hope still lives. Thank you for listening to Echoes Through the Abyss podcast, where stories from the darkest places remind us that redemption, healing, and faith are always possible. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm Chapter 30, verse 5. Until next time, keep walking toward the light.